Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Thank goodness it's folk. Every Friday, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and worldwide at www.sheffieldlive.org.
Where the dazzlers are follow.
Bound together through the land, keep the spirit, keep the way. Brother, sister, make a stand. Unity will win the day. Raise your banner high, strength to strength and line by line. Unity must never die. Raise your banner high. Those who stand in face of strife, those who stand for liberty, fight to win a better life, fight to keep the future free. Raise your banner high, strength to strength and line by line. Unity must never die. Raise your banner high. Though the struggle brings us pain, though the struggle brings us tears, ours will be the final gain. We will hear the victory cheers. Raise your banner high, strength to strength and line by line. Unity must never die. Raise your banner high. Raise your banner high. Strength to strength and line by line. Unity must never die. Raise your banner high.
Welcome back to the second half of Thank Goodness It's Folk today on Friday the 8th of November here on Sheffield Live, at broadcasting around the world on the internet at www.sheffieldlive and on 93.2 FM, as always in Sheffield on the FM dial. Words that have often been uttered over the years by our next guest. But before we talk to Dave Eyre, this show's founder, who's joined Sam and I in the studio to talk about the Sheffield Carols, which start next week, let's remind ourselves of one of the best carols sung, traditionally sung at the Royal Hotel in Dungworth. But Dave Eyre is going to tell us about what has happened since the pub has shut and what has happened with the future of the carols. Before we do that, a song that I probably first heard the very same month that this recording was made, but more on that later, because this was recorded in the winter of 1995 at the Royal, the very same year that I went on probably my first date with Nancy Kerr, and the first date was to the Royal in Dungworth, and I would definitely have heard Awake, Arise, Good Christians playing that day. So let's hear it, and then we'll talk to Dave Eyre about the Sheffield Carols and where to find them this year.
Thank you.
the distinctive sound, unmistakable some would say, of the carolers of the Royal Hotel Dungworth, Sheffield, with Awake, Arise, Good Christians. And all of you who know the Royal at Dungworth will know that this year, earlier this year, the owners decided that the time had come for them to retire from life at the hotel and to sell the hotel. People who were fans and followers and singers and locals and incomers to the village who came every year were in some doubt for a while about what the fate of the Royal Hotel Dungworth carolers would be. And while there are many fine pubs in the area who do carols, those who went to the Dungworth carols, it definitely held a special place in their heart. Well, the good news is that that tradition continues. And one of the people who've been involved for a long time in spreading the word about the carols, in singing in the carols, and in the new phoenix arising from the ashes of the carols for this year is our guest, the founder of Thank Goodness It's Folk, Dave Eyre. Welcome back to your own program, Dave. Now the program of Sam Hindley.
Thank you very much indeed, both of you. It's a great pleasure to be here. It's a familiar-looking studio, and I absolutely adore being here. There's been a big change at Dungworth. When the news of the closure of the Royal first took place, there were some searches for other places where we might hold it. Because, as you say quite rightly, a fair number of pubs in the area. But the local people in particular were very, very keen that the songs, the carols, should stay actually in the village itself. So there was a movement to do that, and they settled. We've got a venue, of course. They've got the old village hall. But in many ways, the old village hall wasn't quite suitable. It didn't have a disabled access, and so on and so forth. But it's been transformed. Anybody who's been up there recently will know that the old village hall is nothing like it was. It's got a disabled access. It's got new central heating. It's got a lovely kitchen. It's got a perfect place for singers. It's got comfortable seats. It's absolutely splendid. And the locals, and I'm not involved in this at all, but the local people really do need a big hand of congratulations, because it's such a nice venue now.
When did it become apparent that Dungworth Village Carols would not only continue, but continue immediately, with no gap at all from last year?
There's no gap from last year. It was a case of getting the village hall ready. And it is ready. They've had a few of the Royal Traditions Folk Club there. I was there last Saturday night, and it was an absolutely splendid evening. And the village is so, the hall is so suitable. They can serve beer from the kitchen. There's hand pumps there, and there's been a tea urn set up. So those who wish to have cups of tea, there's not many of those, I'm delighted to say, but those who wish to have cups of tea can have cups of tea, and it's a really good setup.
Dave, as somebody who didn't come from Sheffield but saw the village carols for the first time ever, my experience was first at the Royal in Dungworth in 1995, as I mentioned. Yeah. And I walked in with Nancy late, and as you know, anyone who's been, if you're late for carols, you won't be in the main room. It one of the things about it that was extraordinary for me was how many people piled in there. The atmosphere was something else, quite unique. And when everyone in that room was singing in full voice, it's like nothing else I've ever experienced. How do you think, obviously it's a new venture in a way, it's old songs sung by the regulars, but we shouldn't really go in expecting it to be the same as the pub, should we?
No, it's not going to be the same. The building, I don't know if you know the building at all, James.
I do, because our children went there for many years for Nicola Beasley's Folk Factory. It's now moved to Burton Street Foundation. Yeah. But the Village Hall has been the venue for many folk activities and adjacent activities for the year. So I do know it, but I haven't seen it revamped. So tell us more.
If you just imagine a block letter I with a little room off it, it's about that sort of size. And what the intention is to put the organ at the entrance to that little room off it, if you like. It's not a room, but you know what I mean. And we'll have the kind of lead singers, the people who turn up regularly on behind them, facing into the organ, as they always did. And then the rest of the room is decked out with chairs. It's got high chairs, it's got low chairs. There's a settee there. There's a tea urn. We're hoping to supply sandwiches. And it's a really, really good venue. I'm not sure what the acoustics will be like with a big crowd in, but the only way we can find that out is to try it.
Absolutely, and you do just have to try it, and you have to move on. It's one thing being sentimental for things, but if you can't have them, you have to create new things.
It was a great shame that the Royal went, because it was a tremendous venue, and it was known the world over. People came from all corners of the world to those wonderful carols there. And it's a shame that it went. But the pub, from the landlord's point of view, was no longer viable. There'd been all sorts of changes within the family. And so they felt it was time for it to go. They did try to sell it. As far as my understanding is, they did try to sell it as a going concern. But for various reasons, nobody took it over. And I'm not sure what's happened at the moment. I understand they've applied for change of use. Mm-hmm. So unless I win the lottery tomorrow, which is about 14 to million to one chance. Unfortunately, I think it's going to see the end of the Royal.
Have you heard from the regulars then, the regular solo singers? Do you think you're going to have a really good turnout? And tell us when this is going to happen.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's go when it's going to happen. We start the carols on Wednesday, the 13th of November, and it will be every Wednesday and every Sunday from then on. It'll be just like the old days, we hope. We're not sure about attendance. The room will only take 120, and because we have a temporary event license to cover the sale of alcohol, it may be that we have to make sure that, by counting them, obviously, that we've got the right numbers in. But that's bigger than the pub was. This is a much bigger room than the pub was. There are no obstructions like there were when the pub, because it was a pub, it wasn't a singing.
It was a pub, and for all of its benefits, there were no clear sight lines to the. If you weren't in the central group, you were just sort of watching from round corners and stuff. So there were, I think, from a communal singing point of view, I think the Village Hall could be incredible. Actually,
I'm hoping it will be. It's fingers crossed, of course. But certainly, Culveraig, who sang last Saturday, they sang acoustically, and they was fine. The acoustics were terrific for them, so I'm assuming it's going to be the same for other people.
Great stuff, Dave. How long have you been involved in the carols?
Oh my goodness me, I can date it. It's not a problem. It's just casting my mind back that far. I got married in August 1972, and my wife was teaching at Hartleybrook School, and one of the people there was a caroler. His name was John Trevithick. And he took me to, first of all, to the Robin Hood at Little Matlock, which no longer exists as a pub, and then up to the Royal at Dungworth, where he said the singing was much better. And it was one of those amazing things. Every time, I used to walk up to the Dungworth, of course. I never used to bother with cars in those days. And I used to walk up to Dungworth and beg for a lift back again. And usually got one. I used to bump into this chap. I've never found out who he was, but he was on his way to the Robin Hood, and I was on my way to the Royal, and we used to meet about halfway between the two places. So the other thing was that when I first started, that the local MP was a man called Martin Flannery at that time. Very well-known MP, very much on the left. But he was a great rambler, and one of the people's groups that have supported the carols for many years have been the Ramblers. So in 1972, I went up there and I stood outside like everybody else does. And I stood outside. And eventually the doors opened at strictly 12 o'clock and we went in. And there were half-pulled pints ready to be topped up. And the local MP took me to one side and he said, and he used to speak like this, Martin. He said to me, "What are you doing there, boy?" And I said, "I'm waiting for the pub to open, Martin." And he said, "Oh, you don't do that." And he took me around the back. And I felt I'd become, I don't know if the phrase means, I'd become one of the mesters, you know. I'd become one of the regulars. It was my kind of entry into the carols. So that would be 1972, 73, in fact, because that was the following Christmas from game. So 73. I've not worked out how many that is. That's 27 plus 24. That's 41 years, Sam. It's been.
Yeah. It's longer than that because I was born in 1972, Dave, and I'm 52. So there you go.
All right. Well, it's longer than that. Obviously, my maths.
Sorry to question your maths. I'd love it to be 42, but it isn't.
Well, and you're wearing well for 52, by the way, James.
Thank you very much, Dave. You can come again.
And the first time you went, James, you came from Robin Hood's Bay, didn't you?
Yes, I was visiting Nancy and Eliza Carthy and Norma and Martin, and they all said, have you ever been to the Village Carols? And I said, well, no. And they said, well, hop in the Citroen. And it was a terrible old car, Norma's car, gosh.
3008.
It was the one that you had to wait for the pneumatic suspension to lift you up, but it never did with hers. But we got there, and it was quite an extraordinary thing. And I've loved going ever since. Do you think that Professor Ian Russell will grace us this year with his presence? Do you think he'll come and see the new venue?
I'm sure he will. The reason I'm sure that he will is because there is in fact a festival of village carols on December the 7th, and Ian will certainly be down for that. I was actually speaking to his wife Norma about it yesterday and suggesting that perhaps I might have slowed down a little since the last time we had one. So not so many onerous duties, if you don't mind. I'm sure Ian will be there. He wouldn't miss it for the world.
Great. And for people who've never been, and there may be some listeners to Sheffield Live today who haven't been before, give us a compelling summary of what they might find in store when they walk in to the Dungwith Village Hall on a Wednesday or Sunday, any time between now and Christmas.
Well, Wednesdays it's 8 o'clock, Sundays it's 12 noon, but the place will be open before then, once we've got it set up. It's a unique experience. It's regarded as one of the finest examples of community singing anywhere in the world, because it's not unique to Sheffield by any means. It's all over the place, but you have to know where it is. And believe you me, it does take some finding. Dunworth itself takes some finding. We've lost at least two BBC crews on the way there. So I know for certain that it takes some finding. And Wednesday night is very much a younger person's night. All the young folk is, such as Rosie Butler Hall, mm-hmm. Annie Grimsley, and people like that, and tend to be the mainstay of it all. Mm. And the Sunday session tends to be the old regulars like me.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the passage of time, Dave, before we hear another carol to close out this section on the carols, it might be nice just for you and Sam to reflect on the 17 years that this program's been going, 7 of them under your stewardship, and you founded the show. But when you were looking to retire, you chose Sam Hindley, sitting to my right, to be your successor on the program, and you asked me if I'd go and help out with the first couple of programs. And 10 years later, Sam and I are still making Thank Goodness It's Folk together. So we both have a lot to thank you for setting us up together, and we're still doing it. And it's gone out every week ever since. Have you got any reflections on the passage of those years?
I think the great thing is, above all else, that, first of all, that he carried on, of course. But secondly, I think the fact that it has an influence. People do come along and quote it. They say, oh, I heard a song on Thank Goodness It's Folk. You'll see it referred to on Facebook pages and TikTok and places like that. And I think it's great. It was one of the first ever community radio stations to play folk music.
That's right.
And there are lots of them now. Very few of them, in fact, I don't think there's any I've listened to that are as good as this one, though, James. So that's nice to know.
That's nice to hear, isn't it, Sam?
It is indeed, James. And I just want to point something out, David, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it is appropriate, James, that we are sharing a weekend in which. Judith Wilford and Jerry Bates will be celebrated on the Saturday, because I'm all right, Dave, that before you were asked, Jerry was asked.
Absolutely right. I was with Jerry, it must have been a Monday night, and he said, you'll never guess what. And I said, what, Jerry? And he said, I've been asked to present a radio station, a radio programme on folk music. And I said, oh, that's great, when's it on? He said, oh, I turned it down. Well, at that point, I really wanted to take his head off. There's no question about it. I wanted to be quite as firm with him, because I'd spent hundreds of hours writing letters to the BBC about the lack of folk music. And the first thing that Jerry does when he gets a chance to present a programme is to turn it down. So I wrote to Sangeeta and said, I'll do it. knowing, not having a clue what was involved at all.
Yeah.
And I think at the time I probably had, I had a few records, but I didn't have a huge, there were a few records reflected my tastes and knowledge. So the first programme was all about the Waterson family, because that's basically what records I got.
Not a bad place to start,
In fairness. But and then I found out the library had some folk music records, so I used those in turn. And gradually, of course, the artist kept started sending them to me, and I built up quite a library. But it was funny that Jerry turned it. I couldn't believe it. I really could not believe it, Sam.
Yeah. You never quite know, though, somebody's motivation for not doing something that looks to all intents and purposes like it's perfectly suited to them. You don't know. Some people would be quite intimidated, I think, by the idea of a weekly folk program. Absolutely. It suited you, but it wouldn't suit everybody.
Yeah. And it suits us, doesn't it?
It does.
Most of the time.
Yeah. I think it was the initial shock that Jerry and I stayed firm friends, I should say.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things that I didn't know. I had no idea. I scripted every single word of it for about the first year and read it out.
Yeah.
And the people at the radio station couldn't believe it. You did a whole 2-hour program. It was timed to the second and everything. You know, I did all those sort of things. I was very lucky. And just quickly mention this, because somebody who's not involved now at all in radio, as far as I'm aware, John Adams, was one of my first guests. And John told me a lot about broadcasting. That was his job, of course. He was a lecturer in broadcasting at Manchester University. And he guided me in a way that I was so delighted to be given.
Mm.
And it helped me a lot. It cut down the amount of time I spent in preparation and things like that. So that was good. There's just one other thing I could mention, if you don't mind.
Please do.
And it's not to do with that at all. There's a good session at the Traveller's Rest at Ooty Bridge, which is done to a piano, and they have sheets hung up from a blackboard like an old-fashioned conference, you know, and all the words are written out. So it's a good place to start if you ever want to go carol singing. And also, of course, it makes a nice weekend. You can go there Saturday and come across to Dungworth on the Sunday.
Well, that's a lovely link to hearing another song from the Carolers of the Royal Hotel Dungworth, which will henceforth be known as the Carolers of Dungworth, yeah. I imagine.
The old band room, the village hall is now called the old band room. And there's signs up and everything, and we've got a corporate image, believe it or not.
There you go. Well, congratulations to everybody involved in reigniting the singing session. Sam and I will come as many times as we can over the course of the next few months, and we'll see some of you there. You'll see Dave Eyre, of course, there. I'm sure you will find a corner, a bit like the corner you had in the pub, that will suit you, and I'm sure you'll be raising your voice high. Congratulations to Sam for continuing your program on for 10 more years.
Absolutely. I've got enormous thanks to you, Sam. Really have. Yep.
And Sam, have you got any last words before we hear another choice from Dave Eyre? From the Carolers of the Royal Hotel Dungworth.
I don't know. Just say. I'm really looking forward to seeing what it's like and going. And yeah, I should look forward to it. And
me too. Terrific, Dave. What carol?
I look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there. Will we have to sing Pass Your Glasses to the Bar? Even if there isn't quite the same bar, that song surely is part of the tradition now.
I think it is, although I'll be honest, James.
Pass your teacups. Pass your teacups to the kitchen.
It's not my favourite. This, what you're going to play, which is Old Foster, is my favourite. And I always describe it because it's got a bass lead. And I always describe it as the fact that little boys in Sheffield didn't grow up wanting to be engine drivers. The little boys in Sheffield grew up wanting to sing the bass lead in Old Foster.
Oh,
kiss my honey. Swing a lady up and down and swing a lady home. Swing a lady up and down and swing a lady home. Blue-eyed girl is mad at me. Brown-eyed girl won't have me. So I married the dark-eyed girl. Single life I'll tarry. Swing a lady up and down, swing a lady home. Swing a lady up and down, swing a lady home. I build my love a big strong house. I build it in the garden. I put her in and she jumps out. To tell you, oh my darling. Swing a lady up and down, swing a lady home. Swing a lady up and down, swing a lady home. She gets the prettier she gets. I tell you, she's a honey. She makes me work all through the week and get stove wood on Sunday. Swing a lady up and down, swing a lady home. Swing a lady up and down, swing a lady home. Way low down in Cedar Swamp, waters deep and muddy. There I met my pretty little miss. There I kissed my honey.
Maddie Morris there with Cedar Swamp, and Maddie will be appearing at Live at Sam's on next Wednesday. I think it's the 12th of November, and with very few tickets left, do come along. It'll be a great night. But if you can't come along and you're outside of Sheffield, it'll also be available on Live to Your Living Room too. Maddie Morris there.
Lovely, Sam. Well, I've got brand new music now, released on the 29th of November. This is Amy Goddard. Her debut album came out in 2014, and she has been a recording artist now for 10 years. So she's got a new album due out at the beginning of 2025 with a mixture of her own original songs and a couple of covers as well. And the covers she particularly wanted to let us know about were a nod to two of her absolute heroes, the Oyster Band and Show of Hands, and she's covered both of them on the new record. And I'm going to play you the first single, which will be out in a couple of days. And she's delighted to be joined on this by Oyster Band guitarist and founding member Alan Prosser. So the single is an Oyster Band song covered by Amy Goddard. It's Put Out the Lights, and on it you'll hear Alan Prosser as well. This is Amy Goddard.
Stay.
Oyster Van there with the classic Black Waterside, and Oyster Van will be doing their very last UK gig as a headline set at Shrewsbury Folk Festival next year. That'll be one of the highlights of the weekend. There's such a lot on that weekend. Like I say, Jim Murray will be there. Natalie McMaster will be there. One more track from an act. Coming up soon, but one of the things that I saw on the press release, and in fact I was so surprised I had to do a double take because it will be Melrose Quartet's first appearance on one of the main stages for some time. Melrose Quartet will be there, but not only that. You'll be doing something brand new, James.
We will indeed. Yeah, it's extremely exciting. So Nancy, as you know, is an academic in folk music at Newcastle University, and she was recently very thrilled that a project for which she applied for a major National Arts Council research grant was successful. She is working in conjunction with Newcastle University and Royal Holloway University in London, and with the EFDSS, the English Folk Dance and Song Society, to uncover music from English parish records of 600 different villages and towns around the country. And this music is very, very old indeed. Somewhat might think dusty, but what's incredible about these collections, Sam, which are currently uncovered, unearthed and archived by the researchers and brought to musical life by Nancy's vision to put them into performance spaces, is that we have such huge connections with these old tunes and old songs with the modern folk world, and much of the music that we're going to be presenting will be well familiar to folk audiences, just perhaps not in the versions they've heard. So that's incredibly exciting. They'll hear old versions of tunes that they possibly didn't realise were quite as old as they are. And Shrewsbury have jumped on this like a hot potato, we're very glad to say, and we will present the show, which is called Music Heritage Place. And I can say now that the show will definitely be appearing at Shrewsbury Folk Festival and Folk by the Oak in 2025 with Melrose Quartet. So it's thrilling for many reasons. One of them is that we get to play at Shrewsbury again. Secondly is we get to present a show that no one's seen before at Shrewsbury with music that may be familiar but will uncover lots of new angles for people. And the other thing we're going to be doing is teaching some of the music that morning, on the Sunday morning, at a workshop, which will be packed. We always have huge audiences for workshops at Shrewsbury, and I'm sure it will be no exception. And then they'll all join us on Sunday afternoon to hear the show. It's thrilling, and it's going to be a multimedia presentation. And I'm actually thrilled for Nancy as much as anything, because it's been a major breakthrough for her to get this funding for a folk project. And I think you should probably chat to her about it on a future show.
We will indeed, James. It sounds very interesting. I will say now to our listeners that tickets for Shrewsbury are already on sale and flying out the door. So if you do want to see the show, get your tickets now, really looking forward to it. And we will hear more about the show with Nancy at a later date. But in the meantime, we've got Shrewsbury Folk Festival on the August Bank Holiday weekend. And let's move on now. You've got something else now, James.
Yes, well, this is a brand new record from a band I've not heard of. They're called the Erland Viken Trio, and they are from Norway. And Erland Viken plays the Hardanger fiddle, which is one of the national instruments of Norway. It's a brilliant, brilliant instrument. And I'm really taken by this track. The album is called Vil Via, and the track is called Road from Glasgow, and was written by Erland Viken Trio after two of them experienced Celtic connections in Glasgow for the first time. And this was their reaction. They wrote this tune. Down. Thank you.
of people came from miles around to see the scallop fight on the hallback ground. Some thought the black would win that day, but some still cheered for the bonny grey. And when this fight it did begin, and many of them thought that the black would win, his backers they did shout hooray, but some still cheered for the bonny grey. Then the grey cock fought with such intent that all of them could see that the black was spent. They held him up to see fair play, but the black he was afraid of the bonny grey. But the black he was afraid of the bonny grey.
That's Bryony Griffith and Alice Jones with the Hunslet and Holbeck Moor cockfight, and that comes from their album A Year Too Late and A Month Too Soon.
Absolutely, and it's great to see them on the lineup for the first wave of artists announced for the Shrewsbury Folk Festival too. All taking place on the August Bank Holiday weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. Now I'm looking forward to it already. Thanks all for listening today. Thank you, James. It's been a lovely show, hasn't it?
Thank you, Sam. It has been. And thanks to Dave Eyre for coming in and talking to us about the revamped Sheffield Carols at Dungworth. I hope you can join him and all of the regulars on Wednesday when it kicks off again on the 13th of November and goes right through till just after Christmas. In the meantime, let's leave you with one of our favourite bands, Mosaic, featuring Bruce Molsky, who we've already heard on the programme today, Donald Lunny, Nicola Parov, Andy Irvin and Rens Van Zandt, the wonderful Mosaic. This is Suleiman's Koppenitzer. Look after each other, and we'll see you next week for more. Thank goodness it's folk.
Look after one another, folks. We'll see you soon.